Right, Rabotai, one word on the Parashat HaShavua that we're up to. It's Parashat Tetzaveh. Parashat Tetzaveh is a parashah primarily dedicated to the Bigdei Kehuna. V'asita Bigdei Kodesh L'Haron Ahicha L'Chabod U'Tef'aret. ואתה תדבר אל כל חכמי לב אשר מלטיב רוח חוכמה ועשו את בגדי אהרון לקדשו לכהנו לי. The בגדי כהונה plays a big role in the parasha, and of course it plays a big role in the Mishkan itself as well as the Bet HaMikdash. You wouldn't think that clothes play such an important part in the Torah. However, the Rambam writes that if the Kohen Gadol serves without the Begadim, the Avodah is invalid. So the Begadim are very, very significant. Moshe Rabbeinu's name, of course, is not mentioned in the Parasha. It's a result of what he said after the sin of the golden calf. So he told God that, if he doesn't forgive the people, erase my name. And even though God did not destroy the Jewish people, but the Kedalah V'Tzadik has a Roshim, and therefore since he said it, it had to land somewhere. So he's removed from the Parasha. Of course, the Gaon of Vilna would say that they picked this parasha because it always comes out during Zayin Adar. So since he went missing on Zayin Adar, he passed away. So when you read the parasha and you see Moshe's name is missing, you say, oh, he's no longer. So that's a remez why this parasha as opposed to other parashiyot. Others have said that the Chidah brings it down, that really the Mefarshim say that there's 53 parashiyot in the Torah. V'simana Gan. Gan Eden. What's Gan Eden? You sit and read the 53 parashiyot of the parasha. Only problem is if you count the parashiyot, there's 54 parashiyot. All right, so it's close enough. Unless you say, huh? Nassau is. What are we saying? That's a sefer.
That's like seven sefarim.
We're talking about parashiyot. So they say there's 53. But there's 54, so some want to say that Vezot HaBerakha you don't count, because a lot of times we don't read Vezot HaBerakha on Shabbat, we read it on Simchat Torah. So therefore, since it's not read on Shabbat like a regular parasha, so scratch Vezot HaBerakha. But the Chidah says differently. The Chidah says that Terumah and Tetzaveh are one parasha. So that's why the parasha starts up with a Vav. It's a continuation of the last parasha. So if that's the case, it comes out that really Moshe Rabbeinu's name is really not missing from any parasha, because Terumah Tetzaveh is really one parasha. It's just in the second part of the parasha his name goes missing. Ve'atat Tetzaveh. But then there's deeper interpretations why in this week's parasha Moshe's name is not mentioned. And it goes back to something that the Shlach Kadosh explains. The Shlach Kadosh says the following. Shemekevan she'adam harishon hata וקלקל את העולמות, Adam Rishon, when he sinned, so he created havoc in all the olamot. V'mishkan hu tikun olamot. The Mishkan comes to rectify all that Adam Rishon destroyed at the time of the sin. Kach gam Aharon haKohen hu tikun Adam Rishon. Oh, so comes the Shlach Kadosh reveals to us that Aharon haKohen in his service is coming actually to fix the chet of Adam Rishon and to bring the world to its rectification as it was before the sin. V'zot ki ha'olam b'chesed yibaneh. The world originally was created with total chesed, with total kindness. V'aron ha'kohen hu isha chesed. Aharon is the man of chesed. Hayachol la'chzir et ha'olam le'matzav metukan. Aharon had the ability to bring the world back to its original tikkun, the way it was. Lachen Aharon HaKohen tzarich liyot kadosh. She'en lo guf im zarut hanevdal ma'kedusha. Aharon's body has to be different than everybody else. He has to behave differently because he's trying to bring the world back to the kedusha that it had. So therefore he cannot behave like everybody else because he has to live on a higher plane in order to make this tikkun. Veze inyan bigde kehuna. Shehem ha-ma'zirim et gilui ha-guf le-kedusha mekotnot or lekotnot or. So he comes along and he starts to reveal a tremendous secret here. He says that when Adam HaRishon was created, he did not have any clothes. Adam HaRishon didn't need clothes. His flesh was light. His body was bright. The body of Adam Rishon is like a neshama. Adam Rishon's madriga, before the sin, there was no such thing as nakedness. Velo yidboshashu, it says. There was nothing to be embarrassed of. The body was all kadosh. Like the Shlach calls it, kotnot or. It was flesh, but it was kotnot or. It was of a spiritual light. You understand? After the sin, something would happen to the flesh of Adam HaRishon. The flesh would become physicalized, materialized. It would become megusham. And from the aleph of or, it would become or. It would become leather, meaning it would become base, it would become animalistic. And to the extent, all of a sudden they realized that they were naked. Now they saw that they weren't wearing any clothes already, that Kedusha had left. Borei Olam now makes for Adam Rishon a different form of garment. And then they go into Shabbat wearing this new garment that they had. Garments are an afterthought. In the perfect world, there's no garments. Today, if you go to the wedding, you see the ladies are not dressing modestly. They're trying to bring the world back to the original tikkun that it used to be. The problem is we're not holding on that level yet. They're holding by v'lo yidboshashu. But we didn't get to that tikkun yet. But they're doing a po'el demyon in order to, you know, to mekarev that level of bringing us back to Adam Rishon that they were before they had clothes on. Okay, so that's a kaf sechut. So therefore, Adam HaRishon, he starts off as without any clothes, but then after the sin, all of a sudden he wears clothes. The word for clothes is beged. And of course, beged means to rebel. Bagadnu. Clothes already is a sign of that you rebelled already. Once you have to wear the clothes, you didn't need begadim. Gadim is a sign of Begida. Anyway, this was happens to Adam HaRishon. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Adam HaRishon, Arizal says, he was also How did he get close to the snake? How was there even an interaction with him and the snake? It says that Adam Rishon was hoteh b'machshava. He was pondering the inyan of the chitzonim of the kilipot. The Baal Shem Tov says, wherever your mind is, that's where you are. Whatever you're thinking, that's where you are. You cannot say, well, I'm sitting in the Beit Midrash, but I'm thinking about the beach. That means you're in the beach. Your mind is able to transport the person to that spot. So if you're thinking about something that's dirty, you're in a dirty place. You say, what do you mean? But I'm in the mikveh. It doesn't matter. The mind transports the person to that idea where he is. Understand what the Baal Shem said? So if Adam HaRishon is thinking about the Chitzonim, whatever he was thinking, pondering the dark side, well, he finds himself in that spot. Therefore the Nahash was able to have a hold on him. The Gemara says that if he would have waited until Shabbat and eaten from the tree, it wouldn't have been a problem. Just that he ate it prematurely. It was all on the timing. He ate it on Friday afternoon, or Friday morning. If he would have waited till Shabbat, so it wouldn't have been a problem. So it was all about the machshava b'adam rishon, the timing of when he ate it. The Shlach Kadosh says something incredible based on this. So we build the Mishkan. The building of Mishkan is like recreating the world. It's a miniature world, the Mishkan. The Gemara says that Bezalel, who built the Mishkan, was able to use the letters of the Hebrew alphabet to create the world. What do I need to know that he had the ability to create the world? He was creating a Mishkan. The explanation is because the Mishkan is a miniature world. If you start to analyze all the cogs and all the pieces of the Mishkan, you'll see that it has all the properties of the Olam. Not only Olam Hazeh, but all the upper Olamot as well. So the Mishkan, Mishkan says, has the ability to bring the world back to its original perfection. But you need somebody to represent Adam HaRishon. Because Adam HaRishon is the one that made the Kilkul. So therefore, when Aharon comes into the Beit HaMikdash, he is Adam HaRishon. He is representing Adam HaRishon in the service. That's why we understand that the sin of Adam HaRishon was what? That he ate something that wasn't Kadosh. Therefore, the Kohen must eat things that are only Kadosh, that are placed on the Mizbeah. The eating of the Kohen has to be on a much higher level. He cannot eat things that are Tameh. He cannot eat things that are on, even Revi'ila Kodesh. Even on a fourth level for Kodesh is Mekabel Tum'ah. Why does the Kohen have to be so careful on what he eats? Because he's coming to Mitakin. The Chet of Adam HaRishon was with Achila. Understand what I just said? That explains why it's Terumah and all these different things that he has to keep a certain level. His eating has to be on a different madrega, because the Chet of Adam HaRishon was through Achila. And if the Kohen Gadol is coming to fix that, so his eating has to be on a totally different madrega as the Father Tikkun. And that's why, for example, the Torah places in Isur Karet on Pigul. What is Pigul? Pigul is that if the Kohen Gadol, when he's bringing the Korban, or the Kohen is bringing the Korban, if he has a machshava that he wants to eat the Korban outside of its place, or after its time, he didn't do it. He ended up eating it in the place, in its right time, but he had a thought. The thoughts of the Kohen Gadol already can bring to Karet. Why? Because since he's coming to Mitaken the Chet of Adam HaRishon, and Adam HaRishon pondered in his thoughts the Olam of the Chitzonim, so therefore even a machshava that is compromised is Mefagel. And the Torah comes along and says, If you brought the korban with all the kavanot and you brought everything the proper way, but every korban has a time when you're allowed to eat it and a time when you're not allowed to eat it. Because the tikkun of Adam Rishon is to eat from the tree in the right time. The problem is Adam Rishon ate from the tree early. Therefore there's a law of notar. Notar comes along and says, hey, it's expired. You can't eat it now. So the Kohen is limited by all the mistakes of Adam Rishon. The Kohen Gadol has to come and live on a different level to make the rectification of it. Understand how we're saying in the Shlach? If that's the case, the biggest consequence of the sin of Adam Rishon was the garments changed. Adam Rishon went from Kotnot Or to Kotnot Or. And therefore, the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, those 8 Begadim, that already makes the tikkun of the Begadim of Adam Rishon. Correct. That's why the clothes have an ability to mechaperi. Exactly. And that's why the service is invalid without the Begadim, because it is the tikkun of the Kohen Gadol to bring the world back to its original perfection through these Begadim. That's why it says, V'asita b'gdei kodesh la'aron lechabod ul'tef'aret. If you look at we have a chumash. You have a bereshit? Any of the stone is good. Ah, toda rabba. Azak baruch. Lechabod ul'tef'aret. The Targum explains the Kavod u'Tefaret how. V'ta'abed levushe kudsha le'aron ahuch likar. The Targum says the Kavod is likar. Kavod over here doesn't mean necessarily Kavod, meaning for honor, like glory, that type of thing. The kavod in the Lashon of the Tehillim many times is a verb used or language used for the neshama. The neshama is called kavod. Leman yizam mercha kavod. That's referring to the ura kevodi. That's referring to the person's soul. So the begadim of the Kohen Gadol is lechavod. It's really in order to bring the person back to spiritual levels of the soul. And the way the Targum uses that terminology is he calls it likar. Likar is something that is precious.
Yakar.
Like yakar. By Adam HaRishon, after the sin, so the Pasuk says, he realized that he wasn't wearing any clothes anymore. Vayas Hashem Elokim l'Adam ulushno kotnot or v'yalbishem. So he made them a leather jacket. But if you look at the Targum, Targum comes along and says, "Va'avad Hashem lim le'adam ul'itetel levushin dikar." It's interesting. So therefore, you see that the bigdei kehuna and the bigdei Adam Rishon, those bigdei or that Hashem made for Adam Rishon and the bigdei kavod and tefav, the Kohen Gadol, have something in common. Both lashon yikar is used. That means they're connected. They have a common item. Once already he had kotnot or, he became subject to tum'ah because already there was a crack in the kiddushah. Once there's a crack in the kiddushah, the tum'ah was able to enter. So therefore the goal of the Kohen Gadol is to bring the world back, he says, to the level of Adam Rishon, to turn the Kotnot Or into Kotnot Or, to return it. Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, Rav Debi Yitzhak Berdichev says, when he served, he didn't have to wear Bigdei Kehuna. He just wore a white robe. Adam Rishon, his tum'ah did not reach Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Debi Yitzhak says. Moshe Rabbeinu was mezukak already. You know, he didn't need the Bigdei Kehuna in order to, you know, remove the Zuhama of Adam Rishon to be. Adam Rishon could wear white, a regular white. The whiteness shows that he was, you know, pure without any zuhama. That's why he has the haluk lavan. So that's why he explains why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not written in specifically in Parashat Tetzaveh, because since Parashat Tetzaveh already is an admission to the sin of Adam Rishon, that's why the Kohen Gadol needs begadim and bigdei yikar to fix the. That's not Shayach to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu he reached a level where he was like a malach already. So therefore there was no reason for Moshe Rabbeinu to get involved in this Bigdei Kehuna. So Adrabah, he said it's a praise that he's not mentioned in this parasha. You know, we had to fulfill his word not to put him in a parasha. But if we had to do that, they chose to do it in a way where it's a shevach to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not mentioned in this parasha because, you see, he's not shayach to the Bigdei Kehuna. He's above the sin, so to speak. The sin didn't reach him, or if it reached him, he fixed it, you know, without the Bigdei Kehuna. But you see over here, it opens the suya of the clothes over here, the yan of the clothes. At the job of the Kohen Gadol is to put on Bigdei Kehuna, to lift up Bigdei Or, this Bigdei Yikar that it's called, and elevate it to Or, to a high Madriga. What does that mean? How do we do that in service? There's a direct connection between our parasha and of course Purim. In Purim, it says Ahasuerush made a party. And we know, of course, it was a costume party. It was a masquerade party. Today we dress like a Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus, if he came as himself, that's not considered dressing up for Ahasuerus. He is a Ahasuerus. Who a Ahasuerus? So Ahasuerus had to come as somebody else. So amazingly enough, he shows up at the party dressed up as a Kohen Gadol. And they learned it from the Pasuk in Megillat Esther, based on the Pasuk in this week's Parasha. The Pasuk says, Bishnat Shalosh Lemulcho Asa Meshte Lecho Salah Ve'Avadav Chayel Paras U'Maday Apatemim Ve'Bahar Oto Et Osher Kevod Malchuto Ve'Et Yekar. Oh, Yekar. Yekar Teferet Gedulato. And it says over here, Lechavod U'Tefaret. And Targum explains, Yikar must be talking about the Bigdei Kehuna, and the Het of the Hur is big, that's eight Begadim. Yikar Tef'eret, it says the Chabod of Tef'aret, the Chabod is Yikar, Tef'eret is. So therefore, the Gemara gives it a Shabbai, what Bigdei Kehuna? Question is, it's a good costume, I don't say no. But there had to be a deeper kavanah why he chose to go as as the Kohen Gadol. You know, give praise to Ahasuerus. At least he went dressed as a Kohen Gadol. Today the kids, they dress up as Oscar the Grouch and all this other things. Ahasuerus dressed up like a Kohen Gadol. At least he had, you know, something to ma'ala to dress up like the Kohen Gadol at least. The kids come as a. What are you dressed as? He's a punk. What's he doing? Ahasuerus went dressed as a Kohen Gadol. You're dressing as a lowlife. But it's probably not that, because Ahasuerus had a sinister reason why he dressed up like the Kohen Gadol. He wasn't doing it because he had kavod for the Kohen Gadol. He had a kavana why he did it. The bottom line the moral of the story is going to be that they're going to tell you the job of the Jewish person is to turn the physical item and direct it into spirituality. That's basically the tikkun of the begadim. The tikkun of begadim is not to take this world for its own sake, but to use the world in the service of God. So you're taking leather, like a pair of tefillin that's made out of leather, and you're turning it into a mitzvah of tefillin. So I turned or into or. I take leather, parchment, and I write a Sefer Torah on it, and bingo, I turned leather into eternity. Now that's the goal in everything that we do. The goal is that Hashem put us in Olam Hazeh for a reason. To elevate Olam Hazeh. The problem is what people do is they get caught up in Olam Hazeh and the leather jacket remains a leather jacket. It never turns into a coat of light. That's the problem. They get so comfortable with the leather jacket that it becomes a means within itself. And they forget the purpose of life. They forget the inyan of what the whole purpose of the Mishkan was. To take everything from this world, the domem, the tzomeach, the high and the midaber, which was all in the Beit HaMikdash. They had domem, they had the rocks of the Mizbeach. Then the tzomeach, they had the wheat from the mincha. Then the high, they had the animal. The midaber is the kohen. All the parts of creation find themselves at the korban. In order to take this korban, which is, that's ham, and lift it up to a higher level. Problem is, when people forget that last step on the list, when they just take all these physical items and it becomes a sport into itself, so then we just make the kotnot or more prominent. And that's what the rabbis always tell you. You know, you have to be kadesh the whole. You have to take the physical item and elevated. Jews are given many mitzvot that without physical props you wouldn't be able to do the mitzvah. Try to shake a lulav without an etrog tree, or all the mitzvot. Lo ta'asev, lo tachshor, lo tachrosh shor bedishoy. You need an ox. Shor v'chamor yachdav. You need a shor and a chamor. A lot of the mitzvot you need props, physical props. The Torah is not against the physical props. The avodah of a Jew is to take the physical props. God gave him parents. Those are physical props. Elevate the parents in Mechaved, Kibud Avayim. Torah gives you a fruit. Terumot, Masrot, Maser Rishon, Maser Ani, Maser Ben HaMaser, Shemitah, Kerem Neva'i, Orla. That's all in the field. Leket, shecha, pe'ah, every single item in the world is going to be connected to some sort of mitzvah. So that's really the tikkun of Adam Rishon. When Adam Rishon ate from the tree, there was a hana'ah. Now that couldn't have been Lashem Shamayim because it was a sin. You weren't allowed to eat from it. You weren't allowed to eat from the tree. It was forbidden. Say whatever you want. Kavanah, not kavanah. But bottom line, it was a sin. You can't whitewash the sin. So finished. Borei Olam says you went from kotnot or to kotnot. You used Olam Hazeh for its own purpose. You didn't use Olam Hazeh for the purpose of God. And you turned it into you brought the whole world to a lower level. It was Yiridan, all the Olamot as a result. The job of the Kohen Gadol was to reverse it. Put on the Begdei Kehuna, the Begdei Adam Rishon, and take everything of this world and lift it back up. And that's the job even after the Churban Beit HaMikdash for everybody to do. The Goyim, this is the big argument. These clothes that Adam HaRishon ended up getting from God, the Bigde'or is after the sin. The job of Adam HaRishon now is to turn the Bigde'or into Bigde'or. Something he didn't have to do before the sin. He was given the Bigde'or automatically. After the sin, now he has to take these new clothes and elevate them. Who got these clothes? So there's a whole lineage of how these clothes, you know, went down the pipe in Jewish history. So they say from Adam Rishon, Noah got them, and then when they came off the Teba, somehow Ham got his hands on them. This guy Ham, he has his hands on everything. He has his hands everywhere. Anyway, Ham, he took the garment, and somehow he gave it to Nimrod. Nimrod ends up getting the coat, and then from Nimrod it ends up by Esav. It's going all the way down. And when Esav gets the coat, Rivka clearly, you know, sees that these are, Esav is not using the coat for their purpose. Esav is the antithesis of what the purpose of the coat was of Adam Rishon. If anything, if the coat of Adam Rishon was caught not all on level 1, by the time Esav got it, it was on level 100 already. He made it much worse. Esav's hunting. Esav is a glutton guy. Although he sketches around like he's a religious guy, but he's not religious. Esav is he's an animal. All he cares about, he says, "Lama zeh bechora? What do I need a bechora for? What do I need this paper for bechora for? I'm enjoying myself." Esav is eat and be merry, for tomorrow you shall die. So he puts the big adiv. As long as Esav is around, he's making the hurban of the kotnot or. So Rivka, who's the gilgul of Chava, she's got to get those garments away from Esav. Understand what's going on over here? So Esav, he leaves his garments at home one day, and Yaakov Avinu is going to go get the blessings. Part of the blessings is you got to be wearing those garments. The Gemara, the Zohar HaKadosh writes, Yaakov Avinu is the tikkun of Adam Rishon as well. So he's got to put on those big de'or of Esav. Now when he puts them on, something amazingly happens to them. Something that never happened when Esav was wearing them. I was going to tell you, take the jacket. We'll get it. So now, why don't you just shut the AC?
I don't know how it works.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we'll all freeze. As long as you're warm. That's the main thing. As long as you're warm, we'll freeze. No, we'll get sick. You just get warm for yourself. So. So now, Yaakov Avinu, when he puts on the jacket, something happens. All of a sudden, when he walks into his father says, "Wow, I smell Gan Eden over here. I smell Gan Eden. How come he didn't smell Gan Eden when Esav was wearing it? It's the same jacket." Explanation is, when Esav was wearing it, he's wearing the jacket, but he's wearing it without the right kavanot. As long as you're living in Olam Hazeh for the purpose of Olam Hazeh, the jacket does not have any value. When Yaakov Avinu, however, Yaakov Ishtam Yoshevo Alim. So when he puts on the jacket, all of a sudden it had an aliyah. All of a sudden the kotnot or turns into kotnot or when he puts it on. And Yitzhak sensed it. That's why I once said an amazing hadush that I'm not going to say over now. No, I'm just kidding. When Yitzhak Avinu, who's blind, mind you, he's blind, but he's blind in the physical sense, but he's not blind in the spiritual sense. He still had prophecy. So Yaakov Avinu walks in, and he walks in with this coat. And what does he say? Re'er reyach beni. See the smell. You don't see smell. You smell the smell. But the Re'er reyach beni. I see the smell. Explanation is that Yitzhak Avinu sensed there's an or that came in. That or is or ruhani. He saw that he saw. He's, I see over here there's a Re'er, there's a reyach. The Reyach is the Reyach of Adam Rishon of Gan Eden, which was making the tikkun again. And Yaakov Avinu now, because that's Yaakov Avinu's item. He lives on that level of not running away from Olam Hazeh, but elevating Olam Hazeh. Therefore, the Kotnot Or have a
They belong. And that's why, what is Yaakov Avinu blessing that he receives?
Yitzhak
gives Yaakov all of Olam Hazeh. Everybody thinks that the blessings of Yaakov was, he got a Hatan Shas and a $10,000 gift certificate to the bookstore. Besides that, he gave him all the physical pleasures. Mishmaneh Ha'aris is the fat of the land. V'rov Dagan V'tirosh. You would say to yourself, Yaakov Abinu, he's a monk. What is he going to do with all this Olam Hazeh? Yitzhak said, we can entrust him with all of Olam Hazeh. We can entrust him because he knows exactly what to do with it. But I thought Esav gets Olam Hazeh. No, Esav only gets Olam Hazeh. He doesn't have any rules, Esav. Esav can do whatever he wants with Olam Hazeh. Our Olam Hazeh is conditional. We're only allowed to accept Olam Hazeh with the rules of using it like Yaakov Avinu was given it over to. You understand the difference? Esav had no rules. You understand the difference the way we use the Begadim and Esav used the Begadim? It's the same shirt. You put it on Esav, he's a monster. You put it on Yaakov Avinu, it's Gan Eden. It all depends on the attitude. But you know, the Begdei Esav are only Hamudot when they're on Yaakov Avinu. But when on Esav, it's defiling, it's Me'ilah, it's abusing of the garment. When they build the Mishkan, so it says the covering of the Mishkan was with Yiriot Izim, with these skins, red skins. And the garment that Yaakov Avinu places on his arm is also called Yiriot Izim, the red skins. And the Hakamim come along and say there's a connection between that. Because just like Adam Arishon's garments were Yiriot Izim, that was the leather garments. And the purpose was to elevate them. So they put that in the Mishkan, because the purpose of the Mishkan was that as well. It's the same garment. The Goyim, it says in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah on page 11, this is an amazing Gemara. Even if it's not connected to anything that we say today, it's an incredible Gemara. You want to hear it? Page 11, 11b. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shemuel. Those of you that are learning Avodah Zarah, you probably just learned it a couple of weeks ago. Od acheret yesh lahem beromi. It's talking about the parades that they used to have in Rome. Ahat l'shev'im shana. This parade they would do once every 70 years. Mivim adam shalem. They bring a specimen of a man. Strong guy. Complete guy. Umarkibim oto al adam higer. And they put him on the shoulders of a lame guy. Guy with a limp. Umelbishim oto begde adam arishon.
So they had it?
They had it.
Wow.
Rome. Everything's in the Vatican. So they take the begde adam arishon and the upper guy, they dress him. And it goes on to say that they bring these guys into the shuk, two guys that are walking, and they have an announcement. Sach kire pelaster, that the what the ruler said is full of lies. Pelaster is lies. Kire is the leader. Sach kire pelaster. Ahuha demarana zayfana. The brother of our master is a liar. The hameh hameh, whoever sees this parade, see it now. Ud lo hameh lo hameh. If you don't see it now, you're not going to see it for 70 years. May ahani l'ramaa v'ramaute. What did the thief benefit from his trickery? Ul zayfana b'zayfanute, and the forger from his forgery. Amazing story. So the Mefarshim Rashi says, what's going on in the parade? The guy with the limp is Yaakov Avinu, because he had a limp when they hit him in the leg, the hip. And the guy on top, the Adam Shalem, is Esav. And they put on the Begdeh Adam Rishon on Esav. And they come along and they say, yeah, the guy's a trickster and he's a thief. He stole our blessings. They make a parade in Rome every 7 years. Now, this is the 67th year. So what's the 2018? 2021 is the 70th year. Eli Neder will make a short trip to Rome just to spectate, to see this.
They don't do it.
No. So you see over here that they made an anti-Semitic parade to show the image of Yaakov and Esav, and Esav's on top of Yaakov, and they called Ramah, you stole the... But look what they're careful to do. They make sure to take the clothes of Adam and Rishon, and they put it on... They put it on Esav.
Is this agreement by one from Harim Erchud?
That's right, his face. That's right, they saved his face, Rabbi Ishmael.
Until now, the same...
100%, they put it in formaldehyde. That's correct. I didn't give all the details of the story, that's correct. They put the mask of Rabbi Ishmael on the top guy's face.
Wow.
What are they trying to say over here? The whole machloket between Esav and Yaakov is our approach to Olam Hazeh. Esav comes along and says, we're going to wear the clothes and we're going to make parades and we're going to enjoy ourselves, and that's the purpose. And we're always fighting for that garment. I mean, it's a machloket in ideology over here, and in the approach to how to look at Olam Hazeh. So they come along and say, our approach is right. And the guy in the bottom, he's like, he stole the garments from us. He took it from us that day and got these benachot. But he doesn't deserve them, especially when Esav looks at the Jewish people and he sees that we're not any different than them sometimes. So he comes along and says, so what did you take the garments for then? You're also indulging just as much as we are, maybe more at some point. So therefore, what do you deserve the garment more than us? You stole the garment to what? To get a beracha, and you don't even fulfill what you're doing. So therefore, give us the garment back. It's a zing to Klaius. You deserve it more than we deserve it. Why did you take it back from us? You're supposed to live on a higher level. You're not living on the higher level you're supposed to. So never give us the garments back. At least let us enjoy it. Hashverosh makes a party. What was the sin of the Jewish people going to the party? What was the sin? It's a sin, obviously. There's some sin in going to the party. What's the sin that they went to the party?
There's a lot of sins, huh?
Give me just one. I don't have a lot. You just need one. Assuming the food was kosher, and assuming the wine was kosher, and assuming it was separate seating. Assuming it was separate seating. They didn't use the kidding. That's Hashverosh's sin. If you look at the language of the Gemara says, Al shenehenu misudato shel oto rasha. Maybe they had to go, Shalom Malchut, they had to go for, Pikuah Nefesh, but to enjoy, when they got to the palace, they said, whoa, look at this marble, look at this chandeliers, you ever see, everybody's taking their pictures out, the selfies with Ahasuerus, forwarding all the different artwork, and all the habalim, Shenehenu, you have to be there, there's nothing to talk about. But to make a whole talk about all the, Ritze Batbat, Bashesh, Vedad, the Soharet, that you're getting involved in all the Geshmiut of, you have to go, you have to make a beracha, eat something, my Maharonim, we showed our face, Ashverosh, nice party, Yisrael Mitzvot, put us down that we showed up, and you go home, and you make Tikkun Hatzot. Instead, They went to the party. Asher nehenu. And Ahasuerus was a, you know, he's a melech hafachfach. It means he was fickle, but he wasn't stupid. He might be, you know, changes his mind from here to here. It's easy, he could change his mind from time to time, but he wasn't stupid. Just look at the Malbim. The Malbim holds he was a political genius. So he comes along and he says, oh, look at the Jews over here, they're eating from the party. What's the difference between us and them? So he comes along and says, those big dekehuna that are supposed to represent the Kohen, Adam Arishon, Kotnot Or, they're mine, they belong to me now. The garments belong to the Goyim. He was happy that Klai Yisrael was being there from the Seudat Tosh and Hashad. They said, yes, we wear the big dekehuna while we're fressing and eating and indulging. This was a right costume for such a party. For such a party, give us back the garments. Give us back the garments. You're not wearing the garments correctly, so we'll take them back. The Bigdekuna represents that concept of having a korban, but eating it l'shem shamayim. Having teruma, eating it l'shem shamayim. Eating things without machshavat pigul. Eating things without notar. You put on Bigdekuna for that. It doesn't have to be Bigdekuna. Every Jew that puts on a suit, that's his kavanah. Azvero says, nah, you people are nehneh from the Saudah. You're just like us. Therefore, give me the big day kuna back. Therefore, it's like Esav wearing the big day or. It's a proper costume. So the fight in Megillat Esther is all about what? The Begadim. Not the garments in the physical garments per se, but in the Hashkafa that stands behind it. Borei Olam says, nehenu. So once Nehenu, so therefore you're no different than the Goyim. Therefore, Borei Olam sends Haman. Abe, you got to wake up. So God sends Haman, you know, to wake up Klai Yisrael. What's the first thing Mordechai does? Hazak Baruch. Vayikra Mordechai Begadav. First thing he does is he rips the garments. He says, over here, this is what the tikkun over here is. The garments are all ripped. It means there's a lesson over here. The garments are ripped. Klai Yisrael is wearing the garments of Esav over here. So he says, forget it. The garments are all broken. Not only that, but the Zohar HaKadosh says, how many kilipot does Esav represent? 400. Remember, when Esav came to Yaakov Avinu, how many chieftains did he have with him? 400 ish imo. That's the kiddipot of Esav is 400. So the pasuk says, what did Esav, what did Mordechai put on his body instead of his clothes that he ripped? Sack. Sack is 400. Sin is 300. Kuf is 100. He said, that's it. Kiddipav Esav is on us. Esther Hamalka Sadeket. Esther Hamalka sitting in the palace. Abba Motish. But you don't mind. He's sitting in the palace, Esther Hamalka Sadeket, Ruach HaKodesh, everything. She looks out the window. The first thing she does is what? Vatishlach Begadim, Nalbish Mordechai. What are you doing over here? What are you ripping your garments? She understood what you're doing. Mordechai says, no. This is...
She wasn't the queen.
She was the queen. Of course she was the queen.
At the party she was the queen.
No, this is after the party. Oh. This is after the decree of Haman.
That's when you're...
He ripped his garments. So she doesn't understand what he's doing. There's new garments. No, there's no new garments. This is the new garment of Christ. The garments are torn. The garments are ripped. So she understands right away. She says, oh, Klai says in trouble. Nehenu. So she says, the tikkun of Nehenu is what? Al tochlu ve'al tishtu. No eating, no drinking. We have to make the tikkun for all this indulgence that Klai is involved in. Understand what's happening so far? We have to make a tikkun for this. And all of a sudden, as the story goes on and Klai says making teshuvah,
You see, everything has to do with Begadim. The whole story is around clothes. What happens? Batilbash Esther Malchut. It doesn't say Batilbash Begdem Malchut. It says Batilbash Esther Malchut. Because anybody can put on garments. The question is, did the garments have a pinimiyut? Is there something underneath the garment? Begdem Malchut. Anybody, like the costume, put on Begdem Malchut. Batilbash Esther Malchut means Esther Hashkafa. Is that everything that she's doing in Olam Hazeh is for the purpose of Olam Abba? That's the Malchut. Everything is for Malchut, Malchut Shamayim. But Tilbash is telling Malchut. Everything she did was based on Malchut. So the Begadim that she's wearing now have a purpose. All this is a tikkun. She's fixing the Begadim that Mordechai tore. So Christ had already started to fast and all that. And the tikkun be made. She puts on the Begadim Malchut. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, Haman comes to the king, wakes him up in the middle of the night. He was up already. What do you want? What do you want over here? He wants to attempt to kill Mordechai before he gets to open his mouth. What is Mordechai? What is Hashem said? There's a guy called Mordechai. He's a good guy. Maher kahat alivush. Go take the king's garments. There's a big item here that the Goyim are giving us their garments. Here in Rome, they were taking the garments of Adam and Rishon and they were saying they belong to us. And here all of a sudden in Ahasuerus, it's a big moment when he takes the clothes and give it to him. As if already, whether he sensed it or not, that's another story. But clearly in Shamayim, that transfer of the clothes of Ahasuerus to Mordechai is already saying that Klai Yisrael already is not a oifiniz, the malbushim that you tore and all that. Now the goyim will give you their malbushim. That's like a moment of the goyim handing over the reins back to Klai Yisrael. But keep in mind, the story is not over yet. Klai Yisrael is still in trouble until after the Gerot. And then once already the teshuvah is complete, this is a pasuk so important that we say it out loud. We come along and Mordechai yatzah melefnei hamelech bilbush malchut, more clothes, more garments. Levush malchut, but tilbash Esther malchut. Now already Mordechai makes a tikkun of the begadim. Now already Klai Yisrael reaches the madrega where they said, you know, they realized where their fault was. Nehenu, nothing wrong in Torah to be neheneh as long as the hana is directed towards a mitzvah. Guess what? The Gemara says on Shabbat we get a neshama yetera. Why? What do you need extra neshama? So it says so you'll be able to tolerate the extra food. What does that mean? What's the mitzvah of the food? It should say, you know, you should let out one notch in your belt on Friday so you can tolerate the food. Let out 2 inches in your pants. What does Neshama Yitera do for me? Explanation is that when the Jew eats, it's a manifestation of Kavod Shekhinah, Onik Shabbat, for the purpose of a higher Madriga. The Kafraim says from the Seudot of Shabbat, with the Devre Torah, the Pizmonim, and the goodwill, it's higher than the Tefillot. He says the Tefillot are a Hagdama to the Seudah. You pray Arbit, you have a Seudah. You pray Sha'arit, you have a Seudah. You pray Mincha, Seudah Shalishit. You need a Tefillah as a Hagdama to the main event, which is the Tefillot of Seudah. So he says, for that tikkun, you need an extra neshama. You need an extra neshama. So therefore, it's clear that Megillat Esther begins with the Ahasuerus wearing the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. Slowly, slowly it moves to the lowest point when Mordechai has to rip his garments, and then it starts moving back up again. Where the king gives over his garments, and then forget about the king's garments. Mordechai himself. Mordechai yatzah bilbush. Like it says in the Pasuk. And then the Pasuk says, Lehudim, Aita ora v'simha v'sason vikar. Vikar.
Ma'asita bigde kodesh lechabot utefaret. The Targum said ikara the bigde or of Adam Rishon. The Targum explained it what bigde ikara. That's the vikar of the end of the Megillah. The vikar at the end of the Megillah is this inyan of that we got back to Jewish way of thinking, Jewish way of living. Jewish way of living is everything is to the service of Hashem. We went back. It says in the beginning of the Megillah, it calls the garments begadim. At the end of the Megillah, it calls the garments malbushim, levush. A big difference. In the beginning, when Mordechai is ripping his begadim, begadim is b'lashon bagadti. Bagadti is a begida. However, levush represents lo busha. The lo yitboshashu. Ready? If a person has the right attitude, therefore, in the beginning it's a begad, at the end it's a malbush. It's a different madrega. It's not the same item. The terminology is very, very significant. Do you have a Shulchan Aruch, Hilchot Purim? Who's going to get it over there for us? Do you have it over there, David? Wow, look at that. Yes. Unreal. David, you're unbelievable. Wow. You should go on, let's make a deal. Very, very interesting halakha over here. Very interesting halakha. Agaha. The Agaha is in Siman Tar Tzu. And from Mishnah Berurah as well. The Mishnah Berurah writes in the halakha, Asura Mastobar over here wearing costumes. Mashin Hagul, Elbosh Parzufim Bepurim, Gever Lovesh Mat Isha, Ishakle Gever, any Subedavar, he's going into the different, customs of wearing garments on. Costumes on Purim, which is a whole discussion in itself, what the custom of wearing, where it came from. However, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, in the beginning maybe of the Hilchot Megillah, when he's teaching us the laws of Purim, he comes along and he says, very, very important Lashon. It says like this. His lashon is, we have to find this Mishnah Berurah.
One second, I'll find it.
I'll find it. Hang on one second. I want to read it inside. Golden lashon of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is in Ora Chaim, Siman Taf Resh Tzadihe Bet. Okay, so one Siman before. Tar Tza Bet. Hayav Inish the Besume Bepuria. Fine. It's about to be happy on Purim. Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah comes along and says, "Whoa, Kadvu Acharonim, Denachon Lelbosh Begde Shabbat BePurim."
Wow. Because Shabbat. Gamken Nevarev. Even from the night already. Wow, amazing Mishnah Brura. V'yimsa achar kach bebeton nerot dolkot v'shulchan aruch u'mita mutzat. Amazing. You should light nerot. When you're coming into Purim, the Mishnah Brura says, it has to be when you come home, it's like Shabbat. You're coming to Raz on Shabbat. Well, Pekdei Shabbat, that means on what is it, Wednesday night. So Wednesday night you have to take out your good dungarees, Elliot. You know, Shabbat dungarees. Your Shabbat t-shirt.
I just bought it.
Yeah, Pekdei Shabbat. Pekdei Shabbat. Wow, Nerot. Nerot dolkot, mitam mutzat. It's like a Friday night when you come home and the Malachim walk in the house with you. Where did the Mishnah Berurah see this inyan of wearing Pekdei Shabbat? Once we learn that the whole Shabbat is the perfect example we're talking about. On Shabbat, when we wear Bigdei Shabbat, the whole purpose of Shabbat is to take from Olam Hazeh and elevate it. Bigdei Shabbat represent that concept. Where the Jews come together on Shabbat, they have a tremendous connection to the physical world, but it's all on a spiritual plane. So therefore, on Purim, one should not have less bigadim than Bigdei Shabbat, because that was the whole takeaway from Purim. Therefore, the Bigdei Shabbat becomes integral to this holiday. The lesson over here, Rabotai, is that there's no holiday that we have more physical enjoyment than Purim, the drinking and the eating, but one has to be very careful. If he does it the right way, then we already reach the tikkun of turning kotnot or into kotnot or. And that's what it means at the end of the Megillah when it says, Lehudi maita ora. That or means we went from ora to ora. It became light. That might explain another custom that we have. On Shabbat, so we're involved in spirituality the whole day, even at the Seudot, it's all spirituality. The Dvar Torah, Pizmonim, the kids, visiting the parents, kissing the parents' hand, getting blessings. It's an amazing moment, the Seudat Shabbat. And the Hanaot of the Shabbat. We come Shabbat morning, so we give out some drinks. It's over the Dvar Torah. Understand? It's over the Dvar Torah. The drink is to get the guy a little excited so he could participate in the Dvar Torah for, you know, an hour and a half before breakfast, before he eats lunch. It's a different level. Gleam, they drink what happens to them. They commit, bring out the cheerleaders. Bring out the Averot. The beauty pageant. Problem is what happens on Motzei Shabbat. Motzei Shabbat, you take off the big day Shabbat. You put on your sweatpants, your pajamas. And that's it. Now you go back to Olam Hazeh, go to business, go to work, go make product, go catch your money, read your emails. Now you're back into Olam Hazeh again. Oh, Shabbat comes, Friday after we go to the mikveh, okay, Shabbat one day a week, okay, Kadosh. The goal is to take the Kiddushah to Shabbat, and it's not Shabbat during the week, I understand. But to have that attitude, even during the week, that's why in the Havdalah and Motzei Shabbat, what do we say? Lehudi ma'ita ora v'simcha v'sason bikat. What's it got to do? It's not Purim. It's this Saturday night, I understand. Purim is this week. But we do it all year long. Because we're telling the guy, the goal of Yehudim is ora. The goal of Yehudim is vikar, the big day, yikar. Now you're leaving Shabbat. You're taking off the big day Shabbat. Don't take off the attitude, however. Therefore, we remind the members, everyone says about this whole speech. When we tell them that Yehudim Ayta Orab Simcha V'Sason Bikar, and that's the connection between Parashat Tetzaveh, which usually comes the Shabbat before Purim, because it's the whole Parashat of Begadim. Aaron comes as a Tikkun of Adam Rishon with the Begdei Kehuna. But everybody has to be a Kohen Gadol in his own right. And everybody has to serve God with that attitude. Even though the Kohen Gadol is not around anymore, the Begadim is not around, but the Hashkafah of it,
the moral of the Mishkan still applies today. And, that's a big avodah. It's a hard avodah, but it's otherwise the Goyim have claims. Otherwise, they can make a parade. However, I skipped one part of the Gemara. That after all the anti-Semitic remarks that they make, the lame guy's a liar and he's a counterfeiter and he stole the blessings and then the garments belong to us. What did he gain? He has no benefit. But then there's one more line that they say at the end of the parade, which is the whole key of the parade. It says at the end, they say, they end the parade with the following chant. Vay leden kad yekum den. Oy lo le'esav ka'asher Yaakov yakum. Woe to us.
What's the first part?
Woe to us. When Yaakov gets his, when he screws his head on right, woe to us. As long as Yaakov's acting like Esav, we have nothing. But vai, woe to the time that Yaakov is going to start to put on his garments like he's supposed to, then we're done. So they know that. And that's the inyan of Purim. That's why. Right after the Megillah, we say, Aru Raman, Baruch Mordechai, Viruchim Yehudim, Aru Kodeshaim. That's their own testimony. Vayleden, Kishiyakumden. We pray that Bezat Hashem, it should happen soon. Vayleden, Kishiyakumden. Baruch Adonai.
Amen. 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 Amen.